The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
This is the Officer Tatum Show.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, gentlemen and ladies. You're listening to the Officer Tatum Show. I'm your host, Brandon Tatum. You can follow me on social media at The Officer Tatum on all my social media platforms. Go to TheOfficerTatum.com if you want to go onto my website, find out more about the things that I do. I want to start by clarifying a few things involving this Uvalde shooting. I have been arguing with people all day long, which I don't normally like to do, but it bothers me to argue with people who don't have all the information and are making critical, condemning judgments on these police officers that were at the scene with no information. If you have all the information and you're well equipped with what happened, you know people at the scene, you were at the scene, and you had criticism of police officers, what they did, what they didn't do, what tactics they used, what tactics they should have used, I'm okay with that. But 99.9% of people that I've talked to have no idea what they're talking about. Let me dispel a couple myths because I want you guys to be informed. And this is not me picking a side. I have no dog in the fight. I don't live in Uvalde, and I don't know any of these police officers per se. The myth that there was one solo Border Patrol guy who was a hero and ran in by himself and executed the shooter by himself, all in his great glory, that's not true. That never happened. This statement of there was a police officer that went and saved his own kids, that never happened. Well, that wasn't completely true. The officer just sat there and did nothing for 40 minutes. That wasn't true. The officer should have ran in, but they didn't. That wasn't completely accurate. Now, let me walk you through exactly what happened so we can be informed and you can make a fair judgment whether or not you agree that these officers did the right thing or not. First and foremost, this lunatic who was 18 was on social media in private messages already talking about how he's going to shoot up the school and how he was a school shooter, and a bunch of knuckleheads in the chat with him were all in cahoots with what he was saying. He had mentioned he was going to purchase a gun. He had posted on his social media the day of, I believe, that he was going to kill his grandmother, and then posted that he was going to go shoot up the school. He shot his grandmother in the face. He drives away to the school, crashes his grandmother's truck. Once he crashed, there was people from across the street from the funeral home that walked over to check on him. He gets out of the truck with a rifle and a bag of ammo. Now they know it's a bag of ammo. It was a rifle in a backpack. They begin to run. He begin to shoot at them. After shooting at them, obviously he didn't hit anybody, or thank God he didn't hit anybody, he proceeds to jump the wall and go and hide behind a vehicle. Reports say that he shot at the school from behind that vehicle. There was a resource officer or a police officer that responded initially, who got to the scene, approached another person who they thought was the shooter, never saw the shooter. He actually, if you look at the video, he drove past the shooter, never saw him. And while he's dealing with another situation or a situation away from where the school was located, the shooter began to walk down the side of the building, passing multiple classrooms and shooting into those classrooms as he's walking by each classroom, unloading multiple rounds through the windows. They don't have the information yet of how many children he killed in that action. Then he continued, and the information shows that there was a teacher who was there who heard the crash, the vehicle crash, heard the initial shots, had the door propped open from earlier, and ran to get her cell phone, but never shut the door, kept it propped open. He ended up entering into that door that was propped open. He entered to the first classroom to the left. The classroom to the left had two classrooms. They both were joined together by a bathroom. And authorities say he shot over 100 shots into that classroom before ever being confronted by police at all. Police then responded. Multiple Uvalde police officers and also police officers from the independent school district and other local police officers responded. And they treated it initially like an active shooter. They went into the school. They were going to attempt to take the guy down and eliminate him as a threat. They received gunfire initially. They attempted to open the door from reports that I've heard, but they were getting shot at. Some of them hit through the door. So they decided to egress and hold a point of containment until they can get a better vantage point, call for extra resources. Now, there's a time period of about 40 minutes between this situation and when BORTAC and the U.S. Marshals showed up and other tactical teams. And during that time, these police officers weren't just sitting on their hands doing nothing while kids were getting shot. According to the police chief of the Uvalde Independent School District, I think that was the police chief of that department, according to him, he believed that there was no more shooting going on. He decided to transition from an active shooter to a barricaded subject. Now, I believe he made a mistake here, because even if he believed that the kids were all killed, you still have to conduct the rescue mission. It does not matter if the shooting stops. This is still an active situation. I believe he made a mistake. Are they cowards for what they did? There is no evidence to suggest that at this point. I believe it was bad tactics. Now, in hindsight, I'm making this observation. At the time, they turned into a hostage situation, or they turned it into a hostage rescue situation, or not necessarily a rescue, but a hostage negotiation situation. They were able to get as many kids out of the classrooms as possible. There's a timeline, and I'm not going to read through the timeline because it's too confusing. There's a timeline of between the time of initial shooting to the time that BORTAC and the U.S. Marshals got there, that there were kids calling in. Multiple calls were coming in. Now, the kids that were calling in, according to the police data and the statement that they made earlier, the two kids that they know for a fact called in were also rescued. They did not succumb to injury as a result of this shooter. It appeared that the shooter was contained in the one room. They were able to rescue kids out of the room. The tactical team came, and they were able to formulate a team that involved a shield, a tactical SWAT-like team. The BORTAC is probably the coldest SWAT team in the United States of America. And then also the U.S. Marshals, which people don't talk about. They were the agency that responded from 70 miles away. Took them about 40 minutes to get there, and they were the ones who had the shield. Using the shield as ballistic protection, they had a key. The key would not work at the door as they're taking rounds. They were able to use what we call a halligan. It's a tool that looked like the end of a hammer, and it has a hook on it. And you can hook it in a door and pry the door open. They were able to use the halligan to pry the door open, and they confronted the suspect, and they shot him. A few officers, I believe, were shot in that instance, but the shield protected them in a great fashion. With that information being said, I do not believe that these officers were in any way cowards. I believe that it was a chaotic situation, and people that have never been in law enforcement don't understand this, but it's chaotic. You have multiple officers coming from multiple agencies. They cannot communicate over the radio. They're not on the same frequency. They don't have the same dispatcher. People are getting information. People don't know what's going on. Uvalde PD chief is saying that it's no longer an active shooter situation. It's a barricaded subject situation. Now, responding officers are listening to his guidance, not knowing the true story about what was going on. And it was a mess, ladies and gentlemen. And I would ask you guys, the people that I love and care about, the people that are listening to me, I would ask you guys to make a fair judgment and not jump on the bandwagon where people are calling these officers cowards. I do not believe that there's any way, form, or fashion that we see cowardice. I think that we find that there were tactical issues here. You're talking about an agency of Uvalde Independent School District that only have 6 officers. This is a city that has 16,000 people that live in it. They were not prepared. They were not prepared. They may have been prepared mentally, but they were not prepared with tactics. They were not prepared with the proper equipment. They were unable to get through the door, and that's why they didn't continue to pursue. Some people wanted them to run in there to do what? To stand in front of the door and get shot because you don't have any way to get into the doors that were locked from the inside, and they potentially were damaged. The kid could have shot the locks off, so he could have damaged the mechanisms. So I just wanted to make that statement and make it clear. There's so many rumors out here that they were cowards and they didn't do anything and they sat in the hallway and they watched the kids die. I mean, just use common sense a little bit and say, do you really think those officers just sat there? You already hear the report of another police officer. He did respond and get his children, but he rescued multiple kids. Once he went in and got his wife, because he got a text message, he knew exactly where they were at. He was able to escort them out. Right before the tactical team came in and executed the guy. But this police officer had children there. There were other Uvalde police officers that probably had kids there. One of the Uvalde police officers, his wife was murdered in this situation. You really think those officers were sitting there cowering? I doubt it. It's a tactical issue, and I believe that they were, you know, they made the wrong decision in hindsight. And that's pretty much all I can say about that. But I want you to call in if you have any comments about what's going on. If you have new information, call in at 844-900-7243, 844-900-7243. Call in. I want to hear from you. You listen to the Officer Tatum Show. Hold the phone.
Brandon Tatum, unafraid to tell it like it is.
As you know, our friend Mike Liddell has a passion to help everyone get the best sleep of their lives. He did not stop by simply creating the best pillow. Now Mike Liddell has done it again, introducing his My Slippers. For a limited time, you will save $90 on a pair of My Slippers. This blowout sale of the year won't last long, so order now. Mike has taken over 2 years to develop this. The My Slippers are designed to wear indoors and out all day long, made with MyPillow foam and impact gel to help prevent fatigue. Made with quality leather suede. Call 1-800-976-8379. Use promo code Brandon or go to MyPillow.com. Click the radio listener square and use promo code Brandon. This offer will not last long, so order now with promo code Brandon at MyPillow.com. Welcome back. I am thoroughly enjoying my MyPillow sheets. I'm thoroughly enjoying the pillows. My wife loves the pillows. We sleep on these pillows every single night. You know, at first I was skeptical. I ain't gonna lie. I says, my pillow really got some good stuff, or we just like him because he's conservative. But my God, I love these pillows. I love the sheets. They're comfortable. They're cool. The bathrobe is my favorite. I sleep with it every night. I sleep like a baby with those bathrobes. And I wanted to extend to you before it's too late that Michael Lindell and MyPillow are having a buy one, get one free deal. You guys really need to jump on the board and join millions of Americans that have had this experience, the same experience that I have. And right now, for a limited time only, buy one, get one free pricing on MyPillow bed sheets, which is what I have. The Giza Elegance My Pillows, which is what I have, the towels, the Roll and Go Anywhere My Pillows. All you have to do, very simple, go to the Radio Listener Specials page at MyPillow.com and use promo code Tatum or call 1-800-858-0263. And also, Mike Lindell is going to throw his book in there for absolutely free with any purchase. Call 800-858-0263 or go to the Radio Listener Specials page at MyPillow.com. Use promo code Tatum. I want to continue the conversation regarding this shooting situation, and I'm hoping that after today, which is Friday, I'm hoping that we are finished with this conversation and that we wait until we get more information to make more judgments, and that we can finally take the weekend off of these shenanigans and the craziness that has gone on and let the family mourn the loss of their babies. But until then, I got to keep the road clean and straight and narrow for you guys so that we are all on the same page with truth. Maybe not on opinion. We don't all have to agree, but on the same page with truth. But one disturbing thing that I heard today, and shout out to my boy Nick. He cuts all my videos on my YouTube channel. He had told me about the shooter's mother, and that she said she had the most bizarre interview that I have ever heard. And I don't know her history. I would argue that she's probably not the best of parent, or she don't have the relationship with her son that she should have, because obviously he wasn't even living with her when he went and shot up the school, according to reports. So I want you guys to listen to his mother and think to yourself, what in the world is she thinking? Roll the clip.
I have no words. I have no words to say. I don't know what he was thinking. He had his reasons for doing what he did, and please don't judge him. I only want the innocent children who died to forgive me.
What do you tell their families?
Forgive me. Forgive my son. I know he had his reasons.
What reasons could he have had?
To get closer to those children, instead of paying attention to the other bad things, I have no words. I don't know.
Ladies and gentlemen, gentlemen and ladies, prison time. How do you rate? I mean, this is the problem here, and I don't want to judge her too harshly because I don't know her. You know, this is a crazy situation. Imagine your kid went and shot up a school, and he's one of the most heinous murderers in history. How would you feel? What would you say? But the fact that she's saying he had his reasons and all this other stuff, like, you are not in control. You don't have control of the wheel. And from reports that I've heard, she worked at the school. You don't have control of the wheel with your child. You are putting out a dangerous individual into society. He had his reasons. There ain't no reasons. How are you not aware and informed on what your child is doing? Now, I know every parent can't be perfect. You know, there's circumstances and situations that happen. Sometimes your kids go nutty and you tried the best you could. But for the most part, you telling me that mama didn't know that he didn't have it going on upstairs, that he was lost, that he wanted to kill people, that he was a loner, that he wanted to purchase guns. Who gave? I almost can guarantee you guys that if we go back and look at it, that she probably gave him the money to buy those guns. Now, I'm not saying it's true, but I'm saying she could have given him the money to buy those guns. On his 18th birthday, she could have debited money in his account, and he went and bought those guns with it because he didn't have a job. And he probably bought like $5,000 worth of guns, and I don't know how much he spent on ammo and magazines. Where did he get the money from? He's not working on a job, ladies and gentlemen, not going to school. It's probably these mamas and our dad, wherever his dad is at, that's trying to treat these little boys like they friends, giving them money, feeling bad for him. Oh, he has his reasons. He don't have no reason. There is no reason to go there and kill those kids like he did. Your kid is out of control. He had no observation, preservation. He had nothing in his mind that would distract him or deter him from taking innocent lives in a massacre. And you don't know your kid is this messed up? It is out of control. I want to take a caller in. If you want to call in at 844-900-7243. I'm going to bring in Rob from Long Beach, California. Rob, welcome to the Officer Tatum Show.
Thank you very much, sir. I just wanted to say that, you know, the Democrats have become evil. Everything they do is pointed to evil right now. And they talk about blowing up the White House and getting in people's faces and threatening them if they don't agree with them. And they also preach hate. Everything that they said, they hate this, they hate that. And that's what they're preaching to these kids these past 2 years. And so I'm not really surprised about that, but the way he went about it is really bad.
Rob, thank you so much for your call. I agree that there is this sentiment across our nation of hatred, vitriol. We even see it now, man. I got people that say, I'm unfollowing you, Brandon. I don't follow you no more. They're calling these police officers cowards, man. And it's like you're painting them all with a broad brush. It's the cops that just showed up. What about the tactical team? They show up 40 minutes later, and they're considered to be cowards? I mean, you're out of your mind to think BORTEC, SWAT team, and U.S. Marshals are cowards. They do this for a living. And you paint the police with a broad brush. You beat the police – the Democrats beat the police officers up with defund the police jargon. Then conservatives beat the police officers up over the mask mandates or vaccination mandates when many of these police officers had nothing to do with that. They're enforcing the law that's on the books, which is trespassing. Private businesses can ask you to leave for the reasons that they want to ask you to leave, especially during a state of an emergency. And the police officers are supposed to just not follow the law because they personally don't believe in it. You know, that's not the case. If you're violating somebody's constitutional rights, then that's a different story. If you're following the letter of the law and being impartial, which is what they're supposed to be, then why are you getting upset with them? But people are bashing the police officer over that. Now they get into the shooting, unprepared, a small town, Uvalde. They had six officers at the, you know, not the total police department, but the Unified School District Police Department had six officers. And they're supposed to be as equipped and as ready to go as a tactical team in Dallas Metro. I mean, it's out of control, man. I hate what they're doing to these police officers. Call in 844-900-7243, 844-900-7243. And if you're calling in right now, hold the phone. I'll get you after the break.
Brandon Tatum. The left ain't seen nothing yet.
Welcome back to the show, ladies and gentlemen. And as you head into the weekend, I want to remind you to visit theofficertatum.com and click on the Breaking the Cycle of Crime banner, where you'll learn inspiring facts about the nonprofit Prison Fellowship Academy. I'm trying not to get emotional talking about this because I have a close connection. I have family members in prison, and I think what they're doing is such incredible work. You know, Houston resident LaDavid Taylor spent 20 years incarcerated. But as a graduate of Prison Fellowship Academy, he says that he's learned leadership skills and how the gospel transformation prepared him to be a productive member of society once he got home. And the academy has even prepared LaDavid to adjust to the society outside of prison as it has gone through rapid change during the 2 decades that he was in prison.
Just the hands-on, the experience that I got, the preparation before coming home, coming from after 20 years, society is not what it was when I left, the same. So me returning after 20 years to a modern society, the hands-on training, the hands-on classes, the one-on-one, it was necessary to be successful.
And ladies and gentlemen, I'd love for you to learn more about this. The Prison Fellowship Academy gets you a free 14-day devotional written by a prisoner by going to theofficertatum.com and clicking on the Prison Fellowship Academy banner, something you can really get behind and feel really good about it, I'm telling you. So many callers are calling in, 844-900-7243, 844-900-7243. We just played in the last segment the mother and the crazy thing she said. However, I have a caller. Because the mother was speaking in Spanish and there was a person translating. And one of the callers appeared to believe that they inaccurately translated what the mother said. I want to bring Roland from Philadelphia. Welcome to the Officer Tatum Show.
Thank you. It's an honor to be on your show, sir.
I appreciate it. So what did the mom say?
I was driving when you played that clip. And what it's sounded like to me, the transliteration, not the translation, the transliteration would be he had something in his mind. He had something in his head. Now, the one thing that I will tell you is I speak Spanish, but the Spanish that I learned in South America, as in Colombia and in Miami with the Cubans. Each different dialect of Spanish has its own little phrases. And what it means in one language, it could be something completely different in the other language or in the other dialect. Okay. And then I will also tell you that you got to give her some grace because of the fog of war, dude. You know,
because of the what?
I don't know how clearly a mother could think after having her son do something like that. I work in the mental health field. And I will tell you that hit me so hard because I've had experiences where people right next to me were getting their heads blown off. And the ramifications, all of the aftermath that's going to come from this is so much worse than the actual act itself. It's hard to really fathom it. There's not a kid in there that's going to be able to get over this the rest of his life. This is trauma. They're going to have PTSD. There's no way around that.
Yeah, Roland, I agree with you. I'll let you finish. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just and thank you for letting me finish and have a voice. And I hope I was able to articulate it so that everybody understands. I'm not defending what this kid did. It's inexcusable. It's inhumane. I'm just trying to get ahead of everybody rushing to judgment. And I know you were just working off of what you were told, what you heard, but think about how this whole timeline has changed completely. And, you know, the bottom line is we need to have cooler heads prevail and get back to the root of the problem, which is mental health, which is basically brought on by the lack of family cohesiveness, There's no more family. And my son has a shirt that says, you know, and he got it right after Columbine. And it said, "Dear Lord, how can you allow something like this to happen in my school?" And on the bottom it says, "Dear child, I am no longer allowed in your school."
Wow, Roland, I know you got a lot to say, and I don't want to cut you off. I'm coming up against a break. I have about 15 seconds left. I think Roland changed my mind on that. You know, I have to reflect on that. I could not imagine, and we have to understand, she lost her son too. And, you know, although I'm a little critical, Roland made me think twice about that. You listen to the Officer Tatum Show. I'll be back after the break.
This is the Officer Tatum Show.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Officer Tatum Show. I got a special guest here. Special guest is an award-winning political theorist who single-handedly launched the national conservatism movement, a person that believes in our founding fathers and helping us get reestablished back to where we're supposed to be. Not this fake stuff, but only the real stuff. I want you to welcome my guest, Yoram Hazani, to the Austin Tatum Show. Yoram, I would like to speak with you about the Georgia primary election. I know that there's a lot going on. I was personally inspired by the turnout that we've seen in that election, and with Herschel Walker winning and there being a tremendous turnout for Kemp. Can you talk to us a little bit about what's going on there and why this could be a positive for conservatives in America?
Yeah, sure. First, thanks for having me on, Brandon. I'm really happy to be on your show. I think there's a couple of really big things happening. The first place, you know, 2016, the Trump agenda was a huge, huge shift for the Republican Party after, you know, 30 years in which the agenda was, you know, liberal internationalism and freedom, freedom, freedom. And Trump stormed in with a message of caring about putting the nation first, meaning in terms of jobs, in terms of borders, in terms of immigration, in terms of recognizing China as a serious rival and a threat. Look, so that was already one revolution, and then in 2020, we have this absolutely amazing takeover of liberal institutions, media, universities across the United States by this woke neo-Marxist movement. And if when you put those two things one on top of the other, you have a huge movement towards dissatisfaction with the way the direction the country is going. People do not believe that the current administration is up to meeting those challenges. And that strengthens Trump, but it also strengthens anybody in the Republican Party who's willing to speak forcefully about those issues.
Yoram, do you think that Donald Trump, and this is my question to you, and I don't want to put you on the spot, but I know a lot of people are asking these things. Do you think that it's a good thing that Donald Trump runs in 2024 for the conservative Republican ticket?
Look, he's just been a mixed bag. He was fantastic on changing the agenda, which means that, you know, he really did teach people a lot. We got to see after the 2020 election that that he kind of has a problem knowing when to stop, if you know what I'm saying. That I don't think there's anything unreasonable about challenging election results in the courts or in state legislatures. That's part of the system. But to hold the country together, to keep it from like disintegrating and, you know, literally into hatred and violence, there has to be a minimum of people holding themselves back and saying, all right, I lost in the courts, I lost in the legislatures, I think the decision was wrong, but for the good of the country, I'm going to stand down and we'll fight it out in the next election. And on that, he definitely failed.
Yoram, you make an interesting point. I never thought of it that way. I'm a Trumper, and I feel like we should just beat these liberals up every chance we get with this. But however, I have seen a lot of people, to your point, turned off by what President Trump has said in many cases about him still going down this particular path. And I think a lot of people did not vote for him in 2020, although I believe he ultimately won. But I think a lot of people that voted for him in 2016 didn't vote for him in 2020 because they were just sick of the turmoil. Some of it wasn't his fault, but they wanted something different. And a lot of people believe that Biden, as loony as he is and as crooked as the Democrats are, that he could at least cause a level of peace until we can get another president in. But I really do think that Trump could gain ground if he would change up a few of the things that he do and be more consistent.
Yeah, I completely agree. You know, a lot of people enjoy the in your face, you know, confrontation all the time. And I think even people who don't enjoy it, they can handle a certain amount of it. But you know, if you look at those moments of, there were moments of grace in Trump's administration. If you look at, you know, the spectacular speech that he gave in Poland about, you know, about the greatness of the West, or his speech at in South Dakota at Mount Rushmore about, you know, about defending American values against the attacks of the left. Those are broad, broad, gracious speeches that speak about higher things. They're not just, you know, I'm the one guy who you need, and just a little bit more of that, and I think Trump would have won the election, you know, in a way that would have been obvious to everybody.
Yoram, I really do think that, and this is my personal opinion, I honestly believe that if Donald Trump would have allowed his minions, right, people like myself and others who are online, fight his battles in many of these cases, I think he would have fared a lot better, because I felt that Donald Trump believed that he was by himself on Twitter and he had to fight every single battle. He had to argue with NBA players. He had to argue with celebrities. And I felt like it kind of painted him in a light that was not favorable as the commander in chief and a leader who has decorum and different things like that. I wish that he would have toned it back a little bit. But I want to ask you in a more further thought with this Georgia election. I mean, what does it say? Because Purdue didn't win. Obviously, Kemp won over Purdue, and Purdue was Trump's guy. But what does it say with the turnout that happened in Georgia? Is this a good indication that the Republican Party will do very well in the midterms?
Yeah, no, it's a great indication. I mean, I don't want to predict what's going to happen because you know, it's always possible to blow it. And, you know, people are really good at taking an opportunity and screwing it up. But the opportunity is vast. I mean, there hasn't been a shift in, you know, the public culture, the political agenda, in the United States of this magnitude since the Second World War. I mean, we're really talking about a realignment that's taking place. If the Republicans learn the good lessons from Trump and can just, you know, tone down a little bit and a little bit more dignity, then I think they'll take it in a really big way. But you know, people blow elections, and it's important to see this larger picture. These new issues, the Trump nationalist agenda and the scary takeover, you know, of schools, for example, by this Marxist stuff, those things can realign the entire electoral system in the United States way beyond one election. It could be for many elections. But you know, the politicians, they have to do their job and listen to what the people are saying and do it with a little bit of class too.
Yeah, Yoram, ladies and gentlemen, you guys are listening to Yoram Hassani. I want you to talk a little bit about, I got 1 minute left. I would love for you to tell us about your book, Conservatism, The Rediscovery, just a little bit of why you wrote it and where people can go and get that book.
The book, Conservatism, Rediscovery, it's all about the question, why is it that conservatives are so bad at conserving? Why can't they conserve anything? Why is it that every decade that goes by, it seems like we're slipping deeper and deeper into a cultural revolution, and people don't know what to do about it. So I decided to write this book about what it would take, what it would be like, first of all, if we changed our political lives, but also if we changed our personal lives, to reorient them not just to freedom all the time — freedom's important — but also to a life of conserving and transmitting things to the next generations, which
we've gotten pretty bad at doing. I got about 10 seconds. Where can people go get that book?
It's online it's online and in bookstores everywhere.
Perfect. Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. I'm sorry, I got to get to this break. But thank you so much, Yoram. I really appreciate you. Ladies and gentlemen, Yoram Hassani. Go check him out. Get his book, Conservatism, A Rediscovery. You listen to The Officer Tatum Show. I'll catch you after the break.
This is The Officer Tatum Show.
Welcome back to The Officer Tatum Show. You listen to your host, Brandon Tatum. Social media, The Officer Tatum, on all my social media platforms. If you're interested in looking at my social media, I want to say that we need to pray for the police officers that are at the scene, not just the family, the police officers. And also a special prayer for the police chief of the Uvalde Independent School District that had to make that crucial decision. And now people are criticizing him for making the wrong decision in hindsight, making the decision, taking the command and trying to do what's right to save as many kids as he could with the information that he had, the tactics that he had, the training that he had, the exposure that he had. But people are just bashing the man, and I feel like it's not justifiable. You can always say he made the wrong decision. That's fair. I can run with that. I can agree to that. But to act as he's a malicious man and he need to go to prison for the rest of his life, and when not one of you guys have ever been in that situation, the ones who are criticizing him, if you have never been in that situation and made the right decision, you can't criticize the man and try to get into his mind and say that he was a bad person. Anyway, I want to bring somebody on from Sacramento, Carla. Carla says she disagreed with me. Carla, welcome to the Officer Tatum Show.
Hi, Brandon. How are you?
I'm doing well. What's your disagreement?
So my disagreement is with you're trying to make excuses for the police officers.
Am I trying to make excuses, or I'm just giving the facts?
Well, it sounds like you're trying to make excuses because the other gentleman who called in, who tried to tell you that it was dereliction of duty and neglect on the police officer's behalf, was true. And the reason why is because there was a mother who was arrested. She was arrested by the police, and she convinced one of the U.S. Marshals to uncuff her. She was uncuffed, jumped the fence, got her daughter out of school. Then there was another gentleman. He was at the barber shop. His wife called and said his daughter, there's active shooter at the school. He left the barber shop, grabbed the shotgun from his barber shop, ran into the school, saved his daughter and other children while the police are still out front. So you can't sit
Carla,
there and say that, oh,
Carla,
chain of command and
Carla, I wanna, you know, I understand your sentiment, but can you verify that situation with that lady? Do you know exactly how that circumstance happened?
Well, it's been verified through multiple media outlets.
Well, let me tell you this. You listen to the media. The media can say what they want to say. I know people that were at the scene, and there's nobody that can attest that this lady was let loose from police custody, ran into a school, only saved her kids. She avoided the shooter, who had already shot police officers before. She somehow avoided him. She somehow made a catcall to her kids, and they knew exactly what room to be in so she can go get them. And she went and saved her kids and left all the other kids behind.
Where they were at.
But she left all the other kids behind?
Okay, so how do you explain the other man, the man who was at the barbershop with the shotgun, grabbed the shotgun, ran to the school, saved his kids and other kids?
Did you know that man was a police officer? And did you know that man was in tandem with the police officers and rescuing other children? They were all escorting and rescuing kids.
My point is the fact that you had armed officers out front for 40 minutes after they started hearing shots fired.
No, they didn't. You don't know that to be true. That's not true. That's not true, Carla.
So there's multiple media outlets who are
I know people who were physically there. I know people who were on the tactical team. That is not true that they just stood outside and while kids were getting shot and killed. That's just not true.
But the chief already released the timeline. We know the timeline. The police chief already released the timeline. We know the timeline of events that took place, and so it is verifiable by the police agency. That's not true.
You clearly did. You clearly did not. Carla, let me finish.
Law enforcement for 10 years. I'm pro police. You know what I'm saying?
But you're not accurate.
I agree with you. I am accurate. Yeah, okay. So this is what you're saying. You're saying, oh, because
I'm listening to the Carla.
People on the ground.
Carla. Carla. I listened to the press conference. You are giving your opinion based on what you're seeing from news outlet. You did not listen to the press conference.
This is
they explained
this is from multiple news media outlets.
Did you listen to the press conference today?
What's that?
Did you listen to the press conference today?
I saw part of it. Yeah, I work in 9 to 5.
Did you watch the entire press conference where they explained
the
timeline?
Something that is They explained the timeline. I've read the timeline through multiple news media outlets. And the
so you would have known
that there was a gunfire. Okay, go ahead. Tell me.
You would have known that he shot over 100 rounds in the first 4 minutes that he was on the scene. The police pursued him. He shot a few police officers as they tried to breach the door. And then as the kids were calling in, the two verified kids that called in, they were all saved. And they weren't just sitting around. They were rescuing kids. The guy that came from the barbershop was an additional individual who helped and worked with extracting kids from the school. They weren't just sitting there
on duty. Well, I guess if you're a cop, you're always on duty. But he was getting his hair cut. My point is that the armed police officers had the opportunity, and they were taking rounds. Sure, but how did these other parents get in and save their kids?
Because you're not comparing apples to apples. They had the gentleman in a particular room. He was isolated. He was firing at police officers. Many of the shots that they claimed that was heard after the first iteration of shots, 4 minutes into the incident, they believed it was him shooting at police. Police were extracting and rescuing people. There is no, I haven't been able to verify at all the lady's account of running into the school and saving her kids, but there was a police officer that was at a barber shop that came and partnered up with law enforcement to help extract kids because he had firsthand information from his wife exactly where they were at. They weren't in a line of fire. They were not in a dangerous situation. That's why he was able to rescue them and other children from the school. This was right around the time that the tactical team showed up. That's 40 minutes into the incident. He was able to get the kids out before the tactical team had to go right in. The gunshots are not verified that he was shooting kids. They believe that he was shooting at police. That's the reason why they treated it like a hostage negotiation situation. I'm not making excuses. I'm just telling you exactly what happened. There is no indication that these guys were just sitting there. From all the indications that I have, they were treating it as a hostage situation. So it wasn't that kids were getting shot and they were just standing there twiddling their thumbs. That's not the case.
You can see how it looks, though. And not only that, but again, it goes back to my original point, is that if you are hearing gunfire and there's innocent children involved, guess what? We're not waiting for chain of command to tell me to go save someone's life. And the fact
that
I understood they were tickets. Carla, let me finish.
I want to direct you one. I want to direct you one place. You said they should rush in. What should they have done that they didn't already try to do?
Well, you said that they were taking fire. Well, where's the rest of the team to go around the back? You said that if other parents and other units were available to go around the back. I think what a lot of people are frustrated with, they're frustrated with the fact that it took 40 minutes to subdue the shooter and the police officers and parents, them fighting parents. When young children, I think that's probably the biggest thing that's triggering a lot of people. I know for me, because I have a 5-year-old son, is that these children are in there with the active shooter, and the police are standing out front. And you can see how it looks.
They weren't standing out front. They were in the hallways.
Well, there's plenty of photos so that indicates that they were standing out front. Even you even have parent testimony, parents who are frustrated standing out front, trying to rally other parents together, be like, why aren't you guys going in? What's the hold up? So you had other parents rallying together.
Carla, I hear what you're saying.
We're gonna
I hear what you're saying, but it's just not completely accurate. I think people have seen those videos. There were 19 officers.
It is completely accurate. Not one thing that I'm saying is not inaccurate.
Well, you don't have
televised.
There was 19 officers in the building. Did you know that? The officers were stacked in the hallways.
Time?
Did you know that? No, the whole time.
Was it within the 40 minutes?
The whole time.
That they were standing out front? Well, the whole time? Well, then that's even more dereliction of duty. That would raise even more questions with the agency.
Thank you for the call, Carla. Thank you for the call, Carla. I really appreciate it. I just can't. People are saying, they throw out terms, dereliction of duty. Dereliction. They don't know exactly what happened. They couldn't tell you that the officers attempted to get to the guy initially when they showed up. They piled up at the door. He's isolated in one room. They have no way to get into the room. They tried the windows. They were getting shot at. They tried the door. They were getting shot at. The only way they were able to get to this guy is they had a tactical team with a shield and a Halligan to pry the door open to get to him and kill him. It wasn't a situation where they just standing outside with their thumbs, you know where, and letting parents just walk into school willy-nilly. And people are getting upset about them holding the parents back. Okay, let the parents run to the front door and get dome shotted. Is that the results that you want? What are they supposed to do? Let the parents just run up to the school? They have 19 officers already at the scene. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, you listen to The Officer Tatum Show. Catch me after the break.
Brandon Tatum, unafraid to tell it like it is. Brandon Tatum, unafraid to tell it like it is.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to The Officer Tatum Show. You listen to your host, Brandon Tatum. Follow me on social media at The Officer Tatum on all social media platforms. My website, TheOfficerTatum.com. I'm probably only going to be able to get to one caller, but I'm going to read out kind of the notes from the other callers. Jimmy from Idaho says, how can gun control work when there's an open border? I agree 1,000%. Patrick from Chicago says, The Officer Tatum, the officers were in a difficult position, but I think I agree with where he's going with that. Ray from Clearwater, Florida says a coworker knew the female teacher that was killed, which I may be able to get you in there. Julia, the press makes a lot of mistakes, so that lady sounded bum. Okay, dumb, I mean. Okay, cool. Nikki from Chicago, welcome to the Off Stadium Show.
Hello.
Hey, Nikki, welcome to the show. Thanks for waiting.
Oh, thank you for having me on the show. Thank you for your thorough explanation. You know, just a quick comment. You know, you guys, I'll tell you what. I'll be damned if you do and I'll be damned if you don't. You try to do the best that you can and you're shot down with that. And then when you try to do the next right thing, you're shot down with that. I'm a addiction counselor and I deal with behaviors all the time. And I've done some active shooting practices and they're not that easy. And we're talking when there's not even an active shooter there. I mean, it's a hard thing to do. And when someone's going crazy like that, you know, it's a difficult thing. And the other thing is, like a couple of people have mentioned, I can't imagine with this guy just pretty much out there telling everybody what he's going to do and nobody took any action into that. I mean, that to me is insane in itself.
Nikki, thank you so much for the call. I love that. I think I'm going to end with that thought, because you're danged if you do, you're danged if you don't, being a police officer. You can't do nothing right. These people out here Monday morning quarterbacking, it's crazy to me. I was a police officer. I went through the police academy. I arrested people on a day-to-day basis. I've been in tactical situations. I've had to rescue people who have took dome shots to the head. People who have gotten tunnel vision. The best of us get tunnel vision in these situations. I was on a SWAT team. They had to train us not to get tunnel vision. Your brain does omission when you're in a stressful situation. All of that, when your brain slow down and you think everything is in slow motion, you cannot control that. It's a stress performance of your brain to preserve your life. With all of that being said, Nikki said, she took the use of force training, but the active shooter training. Some of y'all ain't done none of this. You ain't even done a ride-along. You would pee your pants if you did one ride-along in Southside Chicago with police officers. But you're going to tell these men that they cowards. Lord, help us. I'm praying for y'all, and I'm praying for myself. I got to get out of here. It's the weekend. I got to take my wife to dinner and sleep on these MyPillow sheets. I love you guys. Catch me next week on Tuesday. I'm out of here.
Brandon Tatum, the left ain't seen nothing yet.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never before seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to salemnow.com. Salemnow.com.